Paul Tonko, you coasted to re-election over your Republican opponent, Bob Dieterich. You'd come in here and you'd wring your hands and you'd say things are really tight and terrible. And I said to you every single time, you're going to have no problem whatsoever. So who was right, me or you?
You're always right, Alan. Dr. Chartok is always right.
So, Alan will do.
I know how to move along with the show, so I will say you're always right, good doctor. But no, I think my concern was that in a year of redistricting,
yeah,
there's always new unfamiliar territory.
Sure.
And over 100,000 new people are introduced into the now 20th congressional district. And so we made it our goal to reach out in extra measure to those communities, but also attempt it in every which way to keep it a positive campaign, talk about issues. And luckily, because of the efforts that we made, and I would say my opponent made, it was serving the public in their best interest by keeping it positive and issues focused.
We saw some people lose. We saw Nan Hayworth lose down in the lower Hudson Valley. What do you make of that? What happened there?
I think that the Tea Party message is an extreme one.
And you think she's a Tea Partier?
Well, I think the perception rules here, and if the perception, which determined the reception, is that you're associated with the extreme thinking, that was hurtful in this given election year. People, I believe, in a congressional election ago in the year 2010, said we want thoughtful government, we want effective government, but we're not about no government. And some of that interpretation of the 2010 results was that, you know, it's good to join forces with the extreme thinkers and they're going to toss government. When, you know, you think of some of the dynamics out there like the innovation economy, the clean energy economy, the high tech economy, that sweepstakes, now international in scope, is similar to the space race of the 60s. And we needed to approach and need to approach the clean energy, innovation economy, global race with a sense of prep that allows us to be very sharp in our skills, in our efforts, in cultivating an ideas economy. And that happens through investment. You know, you need to belt tighten for certain. But you look at outmoded programs, you look at waste and inefficiency, but there is still, when you harness those savings, there's a need to transfer those savings over to sound investments. And that's the piece of the puzzle I think that people wanted to hear. And so, you know, if you support research, which equals jobs, if you support, you know, the physical and capital and human infrastructure investment needs, I think you would do well, did well in this election. And, you know, if people interpreted that you are about this far-right thinking, I don't think it was helpful. People want to know that there's a lot of there's an emphasis on the middle of the thinking rather than extreme thinking.
I want to ask you a self-serving question, which is not unknown for me to do, but here's what it is. I would get calls. Our listenership is centrist, maybe a little left center. I would get calls from people who'd say, we don't want to hear Nan Hayworth on our station. And I'd say, why not? They'd say, well, because, you know, the ideas are dangerous or something. And I would say, that's nonsense. I mean, you're smart. Other people are smart. They can hear what she has to say and judge for themselves. You think I'm wrong?
No, I think you especially have an audience that's very thoughtful and academic, and they can sort through the issues and the solutions and determine just where they fall with their support. Or with their lining up with the voices of government. I think that, you know, you certainly are to be credited as being an audience that is very sound on the issues and very deliberate in your thinking. And if someone doesn't meet that test, then obviously it's going to cause a little bit of consternation. But I think... You know, I think basically people are open to hearing everyone's views. And then, as it ought to be an academic exercise. When we turn it into a you know, a
Fox-like
a sporting event or whatever. You know, we're losing the soulfulness of our government. Mm. It needs to be that classroom exercise rather than a sporting event. And I think with our sports culture in this country, we've turned this arena sometimes into that, you know, winner takes all syndrome, and you know, and really getting past the substance. And we're dealing with such issues from energy to education to research that are so demanding of the academics, the analytical skill sets to determine the best policy. If we don't do that, I think we're going to be set back decades.
You thought that the Democrats might take the House. At least you said that.
Yeah.
Were you disappointed?
Yeah. I mean, obviously you like to be part of the majority. But what I think is an improvement here is that we're now past 200 seats in the House, which was a major pickup in a tough year. We needed a wave year. We needed, you know, people to be caught up in that kind of movement of displacing and bringing about anew. And it turned more into a focus on the presidential sweepstakes. And I think that you know, some of the validation that we needed on Medicare issues, Social Security, would have helped us. I think that first debate, which set back the president's campaign, unraveled that that drive that was, I think, very strongly indicating that we were positioned well to take control of the House. But, you know, this is going to, I think the public has made its case, and they're now going to test each and every one of us in this new Congress, in the 113th. And, you know, sometimes it's a two-step process in recovering the House.
I've been watching your speaker, John Boehner. I wouldn't say your as much as the Republican speaker. I once mispronounced his name, and I got all kinds of hell for it, people thinking I was doing it on purpose, but I didn't tell him how to spell his name. Do you think he's doing a better job of getting his message out than Nancy Pelosi is as a spokesperson for the conference?
Well, I don't know if it's a better job of getting the message out. It's twisting the message in a way that is appealing. But, you know, you look at some of the exchange that's been part of the last week or two with the president, with the White House, and the administration, and the leadership in the House of Representatives, and it's not factual at times, I believe. It's misrepresenting where they're at and what the president has said. So it's not so much who's the better, you know, whether the which message is getting out there. It's how much you're going to not address a straightforward, very sound expression of what your thinking is. And I think there's still extreme thinking in the majority of in the House of Representatives, and an unwillingness yet to deal with the results of the election.
Now, when we come back the next time, Paul Tonko, I want to talk about how that worked out in terms of the fiscal cliff.
Sure.